He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the Monday 9/11/23 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a decent start to the market today, although seems to be mostly Tesla. Tesla is off to a huge start. It's up 6.6%. And that's driving the NASDAQ higher. The NASDAQ is up 68 points right now to 13,829. The Dow's up 47. That's 14 basis points. It's at 34,623. The S&P is up 15 points. That's about 33 basis points. It's at 44.72. The small cap's up 0.5%. Oil up again as it closes in on $88 per barrel. It's up 45 cents again today, $87.96. Gold is up $6 to $19.49. Silver up 19 cents. The all-important 10-year, which we watch very closely throughout the day, every day, it's at 4.29% today. It is up 3 basis points. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we're all, at least I was thinking back to where I was back on 9/11, what was it, 2001, somewhere
in
there?
Yeah, 2001, I was thinking about it as well. As, you know, I actually had a buddy who was at the tower and somehow smoking a cigarette saved his life, got him out of the tower. That's kind of interesting. But I was with Merrill Lynch at the time. You know, first they're the trainers that we call them the trainers of our industry.
Yeah,
so,
that's right,
and then. I did that out of college, and I was actually in the Jacksonville area, at the office when it happened, and it was one of the things where, I guess where the Merrill Lynch building was right in the financial center, so you could see kind of like the domed. It was the building with the little domed kind of greenish roof, and they directed all the call center calls and things over to the Jacksonville area, so it was we were kind of in the mix as a backup to them there. But all of us certainly have our own stories, and certainly thinking about all those that were lost, and the ripple effects throughout their families, friends, and whole lives.
Yeah. So. Mostly from our industry. I was at the office preparing the show when I saw it happen, basically live on TV on CNBC, and nobody knew what it was at first. They thought a small plane had crashed into one of the towers. And then, of course, when the second plane came along, it was pretty obvious that this was no accident. What a day that was. The markets were closed for a while. And here we are 23 years later.
And the Pentagon as well. We always think
on
the financial center side, right? We always, in the financial world, we always think of, the towers, obviously. But then you had the Pentagon. And then, of course, the plane that didn't make its destination. So.
Yep. Well, we're off to a decent start in the market today, mostly because of fairly good news out of Europe over the weekend, last night particularly, yesterday at their open. They had a good, strong start to the market. Tesla is the big winner here so far today. And we had kind of a rocky week in the market last week. We were hyper-focused on the Fed. Fear of the Fed, you had the Apple China news, And that really impacted the market. So everything was pretty much in the red last week, but we're off to a pretty good start here today. And, of course, this will be a full week in the market. Last week was a shortened week. CPI report this week, Wednesday, that will be highly watched.
Oh, this calendar is packed this week.
The calendar is packed.
I mean, yes. It starts on Wednesday, like you said, with the CPI, and then we get the PPI on Thursday, and of course, throw in some jobless claims on that day, and we'll have some retail sales, and there's been consumer headwinds, right, in terms of, you know, how long can they last, so that'll be an interesting report, and then Friday we get some, you know, industrial production surveys and other things, import prices, so that affects inflation. So buckle up your seatbelts,
yes.
I guess, and get your, you know, get your glasses on, sharpen your pencil, your, you know, for your economic indicators this week, I guess.
Yes, and today so far, Qualcomm's a big winner here so far, as they get a 5-year deal to continue making chips. Actually, it's the modems inside the Apple phones. It's called Snapdragon 5G. They've got 3 more years on that contract, and Qualcomm was up higher. Now it's up just 2.8%.
Really means that Apple, remember they were going to make their own chips, right? And so they just, you know, so basically this 3-year kind of renewed deal with Qualcomm kind of just shows, I guess, their chip making wasn't ready or up to snuff at this point. So.
And then Tesla is a big winner today. Big winner, up 5.9%. Morgan Stanley ups its 12-month target price on the stock by 60%. That shows you how far behind the curve Morgan Stanley was. They had a target price of 250. Of course, it's at 263 now. So they said, hey, we better up our target price here. They upped it to $400. That's a huge bump. And they sent it to overweight from equal weight.
And the reason why was interesting, because it kind of ties into the kind of data warehousing, Dojo computer AI kind of play. So they've got that, you know, Dojo, he's got that, you know, supercomputer or what have you. And so they're potentially an AI, you know, offshoot and revenue growth from it. So,
yeah, that's a part of Tesla. Of course, he's got a lot of moving parts. Good old Elon, and the Dojo supercomputer is intended to train AI models for self-driving cars, and Morgan Stanley, that says, they say that could become a huge business.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, somebody put a number on the charging business, now that everybody is adopting their charger. And I want to say that Tesla is now the fourth biggest selling car. It's always U.S. trucks that kind of lead the way, Ford, F-150s, the Dodge Ram, and I think the Chevy Silverado, then Tesla is the fourth, the biggest selling car. So those are the big winners here so far. Okay, Janet Yellen had something to say over the weekend. She feels more confident of a U.S. soft landing, which everybody was kind of worried about last week, after the data showed a steady cooling of inflation and an increase in job seekers. So that's kind of the best of both worlds. You have the economy not stumbling, and you have inflation cooling. Now, you could make the argument that the jobs market is still a little too hot and could keep inflation higher for longer. But she says every measure of inflation it looks good looking down the road. She says, I'm very confident about our prediction of a soft landing, which would be quite an engineering feat We'll see how these inflation numbers, the PPI,
all but oil. CPI. I mean, all but oil. I mean, look at the barrel of oil. You mentioned at the front of the show in terms of the price. That you know, we're at I think I saw an 80. I think I saw an 88 handle earlier, and then we're at 87, 81 at the moment. But you know, that's basically almost a year high.
Yep.
You know, at least a 20 for 2023. So
yeah, and
hard to say that indicator is going good. You know, I mean, I hope she's right, but I don't know about that anymore.
Yeah, this oil, big rise in oil, kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, they cut production quite a while ago, and it didn't really show up. But I guess now it's starting to show up in the oil markets, along with our just kind of even production and even kind of making it obviously difficult to drill for oil here in the U.S. And now those two are kind of colliding, and we're at almost $88 per barrel on oil. Okay, we've got a couple of big earnings reports coming in this week, too, that I want to review just a little bit. And then there's a big deal taking place today, and there's some big news on the weight loss drugs once again. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, after the close of the market tonight, today, Oracle will report earnings. And Oracle's been getting some traction here recently with their exposure to AI. I've seen the multiple on Oracle expand. It was trading in the low 20s, maybe 20. Now it's up to 25. So that's one of the effects you get when you join the AI crowd. You get a little bit of a bump higher in your multiple. Oracle has not been a bad, even though it's huge, it's $339 billion. Oracle has been growing their earnings, continuing to grow their earnings at 12% per year over the last 5 years, double-digit growth. And just looking at their last four quarters, their sales growth has been 18%, 18%, 18%, and 17%. So that's pretty good growth for a company that size. It's got a lot of momentum going for it right now. The relative strength is 96 on a scale of 1 to 99. And I have to say, that's a beautiful stock chart. That's a classic picture-perfect saucer pattern, looking like it's getting ready to break out. Of course, a lot of that will depend on what they report in the after hours tonight. Okay, the other one that we'll report this week is on Thursday, Adobe, which is a big player. It also has quite a bit of AI exposure. Adobe will report on Thursday. Yes. And so anyways, a couple of big tech stocks still. I mean, there's always some important reports sitting out there, and these could be too big. Okay, the big deal happens in, one of the food groups is Twinkies, right? Hostess Brands, one of the five, four food groups.
It'll last forever, no expiration date.
Yes, I mean, I've been Hostess Brands, the powdered donuts, the pop fruit pies, the Twinkies, the fuzzy cupcakes, you know, all that good stuff. You know, mostly made of chemicals and a little sugar. They ink a deal. They're being bought out by J.M. Smucker, who makes jams and jelly. So I guess I can see some synergy.
Yeah, start throwing some, you know, put some jelly and peanut butter in there, right? Yeah. I mean, we've got all kind of options now.
Yeah.
So, preserves, whatever.
And, you know, Hostess, I want to say, had to emerge out of bankruptcy one time. And
they did. I remember there was some kind of craze at one point. They were worried that there was going to be the last Twinkies on the shelf or whatever.
Yeah.
And, of course, somebody saved them. And then, of course, now looks like... they're getting a pretty decent exit price, because the last time I looked, I think Smucker's was down, and I think Hostess was way up.
Yes, and that, you know, look, I mean, look, whoever invented the Twinkie, they're being bought out for $5.6 billion.
Not bad, right?
That's a lot of cupcakes with the little squirrely things, you know, on there, the squiggles.
Well, we're going to need Novo Nordisk if, you know, since Twinkies, sounds like Twinkies got new life, right?
This is definitely good for Wegovy and Mounjaro, which we'll be talking about in a minute.
Perfect segue.
Dojo called the $500 billion wild card. You know what? I mean, Morgan Stanley, I don't hardly ever agree with them, and I think that that's pretty pretty generous. I don't know about that. Okay, there is more news today. Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk to lead the $100 billion weight loss drug market in 2030, according to J.P. Morgan. Now, I don't normally agree with J.P. Morgan, but in this case I do. And J.P. Morgan recently raised its projections for weight loss drugs, expecting the drug category known as GLP-1. Okay, this is a big term to follow. GLP-1 agonist. That's the technology behind this, to bring over $100 billion in annual sales by 2030 in a duopoly, not a monopoly, a duopoly controlled by Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly. They must have read my article over the weekend, J.P. Morgan.
I was thinking that one.
Yes, Now, you know, here's an astonishing number for you. Mounjaro has not been approved yet for weight loss. That's expected to come, however, this year.
Right, and but folks are using it, right,
yes,
as that, even though it's a, you know, kind of a, what are they? I forget the
off brand.
That's
or
it.
Something.
Yeah, it's off off label. Off. I don't know. There's a term for that. Yeah, but that's
so,
what's happening.
And remember this: it's only been around now for 1 year. Mounjaro, and when I did my study on it and wrote my article about it, Mounjaro, 1 year ago, the very first quarter that this drug was available, it did $16 million in sales, okay? In the most recent quarter, this quarter that just ended and has been reported, it did $960 million in sales. That's a 6,000% increase year over year. And, of course, it has not been approved yet for weight loss. It did get, who got the approval last week in the UK? I think it was Mounjaro.
I believe it was.
For diabetes, not weight loss yet. And then, of course, well, in a research note last week, J.P. Morgan analyst Chris Schott said he did not rule out further sales upside for GLP-1s in obesity and diabetes, where the uptake of the drug class is fast rising amid social media hype. They revised the estimate following Lilly's better-than-expected Q2 sales for its dual GIP/GLP-1 agonist Mounjaro. It also comes after Novo announced top-line data from its Phase 3 SELECT trial in August, demonstrating that their GLP-1 agonist, semaglutide, brought cardiovascular benefits in obesity. Cardiovascular, that was a huge, I remember when they announced that the stock did very well. And, of course, Novo Nordisk launched semaglutide as Wegovy for weight loss after marketing a lower-dose version of the drug as Ozempic for type 2 diabetes. The drugs targeted at a gut hormone called incretin helped the Danish drug maker become the most valuable European company this month. Now, I have updated my numbers on Lilly. I learned a lot. You know, Lilly has a couple, some other big drugs out there right now that are growing at double digits, including Jardiance,
They have a pretty decent cancer focus too, I believe.
Yes, there was one for breast cancer, and I can't think what the other one is right now, but this is the wild card right here for Lilly. And if you didn't get last week's newsletter, you can read all about it. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. With the NASDAQ up 62, it's mostly Tesla. The Dow up 91. I haven't really looked into it to see what's driving it yet. I will. And the S&P is up 17 right now. And just one more little thing on this this weight loss drug, this piece out by JP Morgan, where they are putting a number to the sales of these drugs. The potential for sales is quite astonishing. They're saying by 2030 they'll be at $100 billion in sales between the two companies.
Wow.
And of course, I mean, they're at like $4 or $5 billion now, so that's tremendous growth. That J.P. Morgan, $50 billion in sales by 2030. So they actually put a number to it. That's up from $8 billion, $23 billion, $34 billion. That's their trajectory between now and 2027, which is basically the next 4 to 5 years. What underpins their forecast? High obesity rates in the U.S., 35% to 40% prevalence among adults. Now, one issue you have is the cost. And, it's not going to be picked up by Medicare, maybe by the end of the decade. But it seems to me like it would be in the insurer's best interest because of all the benefits, health benefits that come from these drugs. And then there's risk. You know, the one risk that I saw that stood out to me, I believe it's Mounjaro, possibility of thyroid cancer. And then all the other side effects seem pretty generic, vomiting, loss of appetite, which is kind of the whole purpose of it.
Yeah, I think that is kind of the purpose of it.
Stomach cramps, things like that. So anyways, they are flying higher again today.
Well, and you said that with Mounjaro, it affects the hormone. So, of course, that is going to tie into the endocrine
thyroid
system and the thyroid, right?
Yep. So. Intel likely to manufacture ARM chips. We were talking about this last week. We saw Intel breaking out, and there was rumor that they had a whale in the bag as a customer to make their chips. And now it's been disclosed that it's ARM, which has been around for a long time. But ARM was bought out, UK, not bought out, but taken private
by SoftBank.
SoftBank,
right? Yeah.
And SoftBank's going to turn around and roll it out again as a publicly traded company. SoftBank made a nice little profit on it, and it sounds like Intel has got them as a customer as Intel is building its foundry business, increasing the size of their foundry business. Okay, Walmart's got an interesting plan at their Atlanta store. They're going to have a little police station inside the store. Hopefully that will deter shoplifting.
Yeah, and then I'm going to provide some space to the, I guess, the local police department, right? So you get a little bit of both?
Yeah, Walmart will open a police workspace inside an Atlanta store amid a nationwide rash of retail theft. The particular store in Vine City on the city's west side was set on fire last year and is set to reopen in May. Police officers will be able to fill out paperwork and hold meetings in the space in addition to charging their phones and their body cameras. So, well, okay, a unique approach there for Walmart, which is really struggling, along with Dick's Sporting Goods, Lowe's, Target, Macy's, all of them citing higher rates of theft, which in the industry is called shrinkage.
Man, cost Target one-third of their margins. I think their margins came in around 6 or so, and I think 2% of the, 2% of that shaved 2% off. So,
Well, the old five-finger discount, right? Crinetics is up 70% today. CRNX, this is a Phase 3 successful trial for a rare disease called acromegaly, and I actually looked into what it was. It's people that have too much growth hormone, and instead of like dwarfism or whatever, it's just the opposite of that. And this drug is pretty effective on this. So you've got a stock that took on a rare disease. It's up 70% today. CRNX. The global semiconductor sales fell nearly 12% in July. I've noticed a slowdown, AMD especially. AMD has been a pretty flat stock rate lately, right in that 108, 109 area. NVIDIA has cooled off a little bit. I was talking to a guy yesterday. I have a lot of contacts. He works for a AI company that works with AI in the cloud, and he says it's all driven by NVIDIA. He just volunteered that, and I said, yeah, I know. I know all about NVIDIA. But I think it's the PC sales. This is your analog devices, AMD to some extent, Intel. That's where you're seeing the slowdown. However, you've seen them rising month over month for the last 3 months in a row. So they think the worst is behind the slowdown in the global chip sales. A major U.S. auto strike looks like. What will that do to the Detroit Auto Show, Barry, which is coming up in a month?
That's interesting. I mean, I guess, I don't know who attends those, but my guess is, the management side probably not striking, so they'll probably get to, go on with their festivities, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was reading about that today. I mean, you've got, roughly 150,000 or so workers that are involved, and the trick is, I think it's going to be, kind of, quote unquote deadlines on, this Friday potentially. And the question is, do they strike across all three? Do they pick out just one? But, I think it was Ford, wasn't it Ford last week who made an offer, it was either Ford or GM, one of them, but the, it just seems like they're, going towards some version of a strike, at least
at one
of those big automakers. But saw where it could cost the economy, I think, even a short one, potentially, $50 billion. I think it was $5 billion a week or something like that.
Okay, the other auto news, I remember BMW bought Mini, the Cooper, the little cars. And now they're going to make an electric version of the Cooper. And they have originally announced that they were going to build them in China. And that didn't sit well. It enraged the British auto industry. And now they've announced that they're going to build the new electric Mini in Britain. So they brought it back. The people, the auto industry, didn't want those jobs going to China, and they eventually won out. Kellogg is going to get the green light. They're going to split into two companies, Kellanova, which I guess will be the growth arm, where the snacks are and whatnot. And that's one of the reasons for our 34. What was it, 40% obesity?
Right? Yeah, Kellanova.
Kellanova and okay. Twinkies and all that yeah. kind of stuff has not helped. But it's good for Wegovy and Mounjaro. Kellanova will feature a growth orient. Well, Kellogg needs something. There's a lot of companies that have done this over the years. Hewlett Packard did it. Johnson & Johnson recently did it. They break out their growth company, hoping for a higher multiple.
A better valuation, yeah. Right.
On that part of the company, which is usually being dragged down by the slow growth part of the company, which is probably their cereal business. Instacart aims for a $7.8 billion valuation. Now, as I look around, is Instacart one of the ones that you can choose from here? I haven't seen Instacart as a major player
yet, I guess,
in the U.S.
You know, I guess they're... It's more on that, kind of grocery delivery side, and you know sometimes they'll partner out, the delivery piece. So you might get it from, I'm just using an example, but you might get it from Walmart, and Instacart might actually be the people who deliver it. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So Pepsi has they're one of the companies that has signed up with Instacart. And then lastly, this is the week I think that we get the Apple 15.
Yeah, starts tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow.
So it's in an interesting week. Last but not least, Boeing gets an order for 50 planes from Vietnam Airlines. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, there's a few stocks here that are greatly influencing the markets today, throwing their weight around. As I look at the Dow, which is currently up about just over 80 points, Disney is the big winner. Not a big winner, but it's the biggest gainer in the Dow.
Getting that, they're making progress. Apparently, there's rumor that they're making a progress on getting that deal with Charter up in the New York area kind of cleared up, because New Yorkers, at least as of now, I don't believe will be able to watch the Jets game tonight on TV. So.
Yeah, Disney's up 2.2%. Right now, that'll be Aaron Rodgers, right?
Aaron Rodgers for the Jets.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
They're playing right now,
I think the Bills.
Yeah, you're right. That's
the Bills. They probably won't be able to watch it either.
Yeah, it's a division rivalry. Yeah, I believe they're. I think that includes Buffalo as well. So it looks like they're about to get a deal done.
3M is up 1.4%. DuPont up 1.2%. Verizon up 1.1%. So pretty mediocre there. Disney really the one driving the Dow right now. Now, on the downside, Boeing continues to slip. It's down, 0.5% right now. They did get a 50-airline order. Vietnam Airlines. A lot of chatter, a lot of news going on these days with Vietnam.
Right.
How it's become a manufacturing hub. We're doing deals with them.
And it's gotten moved some of that manufacturing from China to places like Vietnam.
Yep. Okay, so Boeing's down 1%. It's sitting on its 200-day moving average right now. We've got Pfizer down 1.1%. It's been a stinker lately. Pfizer's breaking down new 52-week lows. And then Walgreens Boots Alliance, which should be kicked out of the Dow, in my opinion, it's down. I think Amazon should replace it. It's down 1.2%. That's a terrible chart. It's holding the Dow back, and it's only an $18 billion company now. And I know there's a lot of Walgreens out there. But it's just been a lousy performer. And the big loser in the Dow today, This is one we owned earlier in the year. I didn't like the way it was trading. I got out of it. Raytheon has more bad news.
Yeah, they got a warning. Yeah.
Wow, they got to go in and pull the engines out of all these different planes and replace parts. It's going to take them years to do it. That stock is down 6.6% today. That's a horrible chart on Raytheon, RTX. Okay, looking at the S&P 500, it's this upgrade by Morgan Stanley. Well, say what you want about Morgan Stanley. They moved the market. Tesla is up 7% on the news that, you know, their supercomputer that could drive AI learning going forward. Just one of their side businesses could turn out to be quite a large business. Tesla is now up 7% on this news.
Well, didn't they say that, wasn't Morgan Stanley, you said they said $500 billion dollars worth of value there? So, I mean,
yeah.
The company as of, you know, I think as of before maybe this move today was at $788 billion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's close to a, what, 70%, 75% increase.
A crazy prediction by Morgan Stanley. We'll see. I hope they're right.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers is up 6% today. I'm not sure what's up there. If it's the Charter Communications thing. And then some of the big banks are doing pretty well. That's good to see. State Street, MTB up 4%. Qualcomm having a good day. We talked about Qualcomm renewing their contract with Apple. They'll be in the Apple phones going forward. Qualcomm is up 3.3%. On the downside, the deal maker, the buyer of Twinkies, Hostess Brands, is down 7.8%. That's a lot of grape jelly.
Yeah, so Smucker's is down 7.8%. Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and that's normal. So, I mean, it's a pretty big move down.
That's a pretty big move down.
Usually
they
the acquirer.
Like it.
Yeah, usually the acquirer does go down, but man, that's a.
Well, Hostess has been a troubled company for quite some time. Thin margins. I think they've had some strikes. They've gone bankrupt. So, yeah, the street does not like this deal. That's a horrible
chart. They do have those little cupcake, though, things, too. Remember the little...
Ding-dongs.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, they got some other things besides just Twinkies. But
yeah, no, they got a pretty good lineup. I mean,
they do have a lineup.
It's Nutrition Plus. J.M. Smucker down 6.5%. And that's a horrible chart on that stock, by the way. And then Raytheon's in the S&P 500. That's not helping. It's down 6.6%. And then AMD's down 2.3%. AMD continues to struggle. And then over at the
NASDAQ. We need another earnings report for AMD to get
usually
perked up and excited about something.
Or if they said, we got a chip that's better than NVIDIA on AI.
Or at least we'll compete, right? I mean, you know, and they're in warehouse, you know, they do warehouse data, and that's a big portion of the segment of theirs. But, yeah, I just think they're either a little bit behind or they're just not as clever at you know, kind of getting the word out, if you will.
Yeah. Okay, and then the other one that's having a pretty good day, Meta, which is saying they're going to have their own AI to compete with ChatGPT and Google's Bard. That's big news. And then Amazon's up 2%. And then on the downside, it's pretty much the chips. AMD down 2.2%, NVIDIA down 1.6%, ASM down 1%, LAM down 1.4%. Okay, if you didn't get the newsletter over the weekend, I wrote a very in-depth article about this whole weight loss deal, and I focused in on Lilly. Gilding the Lily. Was the name of the article. It get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And today you get the big news from J.P. Morgan putting a number to the potential $50 billion market by the end of 2027. You know, right now the cost $35,000 to $40,000 a year, but you lose 25% of your weight and a lot of other health problems go away, hopefully. All right. Well, If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. If you'd like the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.